5:31 on Monday, August 18th. I'd like to call our order regular scheduled meeting of the Maquoketa Township Board of Trustees. If you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a couple of guests with us tonight, a couple of incoming sophomores at Notre Dame Academy, Gracie Hunter and Hannah Tam, who are working on their government project, so welcome. Do you know everything is about township government? Well, it's the oldest form of government in the United States, started in 1805. We have four elected officials, three trustees. Trustee Lang is out today, but then our fiscal officer, Mr. Pike here. So welcome. All right. This is our second meeting of the month, so we have our departmental reports. So we'll be hearing from our road department, our maintenance department, zoning, our fire chief. And typically, we hear from our sheriff's deputy, and I don't see Lieutenant Leach with us tonight, but I did see the police report in the conference room for inspection. So we'll continue on with the rest of our agenda. Were there any additions or corrections to our last minute meeting on August 4th?
I have none.
All right, I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as submitted by our fiscal officer.
Second.
Vickery on the motion. Vickery.
Marshall.
Yes. All right, and then correspondence. Gavin, did you have anything?
We sent out some correspondence to Cedar Creek Church, just thanking them. They sent some volunteers and helped do some cleanup in Swamp Creek Cemetery.
Yeah, and I did share in the working session, had a couple emails received from residents concerning the disruption in the regular garbage and recycling service. And I know it's frustrating for everybody. The strike has ended. I assure residents that we will continue to monitor the situation and work with the public to improve the services. All right, we have bills to be submitted. Bills submitted totaling. $637,000, $150.49 for the attached list. Make a motion to pay those as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And part of that, we also have. $365,000 to Bowers Asphalt. Is that the final payment for our paving project, Harold?
No.
So we have one more?
There will be more.
Okay. Great. All right. Then we do also have a hearing scheduled to tonight for a sliding district, Stonegate. So I'll make a motion to close the general session of the meeting and go to a public hearing for the purpose of hearing Stonegate Plat 8, lots 119 through 137.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. Okay, before we start the public hearing, is there anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak either in favor or against the proposed street lighting district? All right. Being none, I'll make a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. All right, Harold, you want to just give us a quick summary?
Well, this is for Stonegate Plat 8, lots 119 through 137. They submitted a petition. And we set the public hearing. The original public hearing was rescheduled to this evening. but they have received a layout and a estimate from Toledo Edison for the placement of 5 LED lights at a cost of $5,946.35. And pursuant to the terms of the petition, they have issued us a check to cover that. So we established the street lighting district this evening. I signed the contract tomorrow, and hopefully things proceed.
I move to approve resolution 8-12025-1 to establish a street light district for Stonegate Plat 8, lots 119 through 137.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
And for our two governmental studies students in the back, so throughout the township we have 400 or 500 lighting districts. So this is, it's a section, so there's 8 street lights. So the people in those, how many houses, 18 houses, pay part of their tax to pay for those streets. So we have different street lights. So this is just a new district for those 8 houses. There's 8 poles there. So there's a bunch of these throughout the whole township. We collect the money through the taxes, and then we pay the Edison on behalf of the residents for the street lights.
Very good.
There's no test afterwards, so. All right. With that, we'll get into our departmental reports. Fiscal officer.
Yeah. I'm going to need to increase some appropriations just now. And we talked in the working session, the final sewer built in. Their communication was a little weird in this whole thing. The sanitary sewer ran it, not the regular road engineers. And we thought we were done, and they submitted another bill. I have to increase the appropriations to pay that bill. We're going to be reimbursed that portion from the White House JEDD, but I'm paying it on their behalf and then being reimbursed. So by the next meeting, we'll get the final accounting from them. I'm increasing operations for what we expect to be. That just did like a little bit of a thing to see. There's some that I'm like, we're going to be close in December on some of these. You know, we have more EMS staff than what we projected at the beginning of the year, I think. And, you know, so some of that and some other things came up. So I did it a little different. I just put it into UAN and spit it out instead of putting it in my Excel sheet. So that's why I gave it to you that way on what we were increasing. So when you go to approve it, you can approve as, you know, the schedule attached. But that's what I'm proposing to increase. It's the only major one fund is the sewer. The rest are $50,000 and then different things like that.
So the sewer project, is that the
improvement of site or whatever?
$351,005, that's the big one?
Yep.
And again, for clarification for our governmental students, we have different funds within our budget. So, for example, we have a EMS fire levy that collects money. We can only use those monies for EMS funds. We have a road and bridge fund that we get money from the state and also from GasLink. We can only use those for road and bridge. But our general property tax that comes in our general fund, we can use those monies on every time, and sometimes we have to move monies around for things that are budgeted just when increasing appropriations so that that pocket of money or budget doesn't run out. So that's what we're doing here by increasing appropriations. We're just kind of shifting funds around from fund A to fund B.
I move to increase appropriations as presented by the fiscal officers per the attached list that was presented.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. Motion Vickery.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm still working with the internal auditor. I've not received an email back from him in the last 2 weeks, so I gave him a bunch of information. This is by far the slowest audit between communication with him. And I am going to try and have to you at the next meeting our annual assessments for the streetlights. So I'm working on that right now. And then, as we discussed in the working session, are working on how to put out the RFP on the fire station remodel and what that process is. This is being working with Dawn on that. So that's all I have going on.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our department reports. Eric, you have the zoning update?
Yeah. It's been a busy month. It's been a lot of people coming in with questions, but for zoning certificates issued, we did a pond, 2 commercial, 7 fences, 3 pools, 1 shed, 1 garage over 1,000 square feet, 1 deck, and then 1 addition. And then, like I said, the rest of it is just informational. I just have had a lot of questions from the general public, but contractors and builders. Do you have any questions?
It's the first time I'm surprised for the summer, no houses.
I did 2 on Friday. Another one's going to probably get done in the next 2 or 3 days. I'm waiting on the full plot plan for it. So I'm guessing my next report will probably have 4 to 5 houses on it.
So you can tell the girls back there again, in our township, you're not allowed to dig a pond, not allowed to put an auxiliary outbuilding unless there is actually a home on the property. So a lot of times people say, well, I want to dig a pond and put my house up later. Our zoning doesn't allow that. So that has to have a living home on the property before anything else can be developed on that land.
Yeah, the idea being somebody puts a pond in and then they never do anything else, and then you have this unmaintained pond in the middle of nowhere, which just becomes a nuisance and a problem. So yeah, you have to have your main use first, and then your sheds, your ponds, those are all your pools, those are accessory to the main use, so they're two uses.
Yeah, and also with the permits for like a pool or a fence or some other buildings, deck, things like that, Eric coordinates with our maintenance department, so they come out with what's called a OOP survey. It's Ohio Utility Powers, where they make sure that if somebody's going to put a fence and dig holes, that there's no underlying gas lines or cable lines or electric lines, anything like that. And sometimes you see the little flags out there. So before they start digging holes, we don't want any guys getting hurt or hitting a gas line causing injury. So they have to wait usually a week after the apply for the permit to make sure the OOPS is surveyed to make sure nothing buried underground. Chief Holman, let's get into your report.
The department responded to a total of 183 incidents in the month of July, with the breakdown by the incident types as submitted. Total for the year so far, 1,360 incident responses. Provided a breakdown of our automatic aid and mutual aid responses as well. And then I have one action item presented for tonight. We have been discussing at the last few meetings the one remaining full-time position that we have open for a firefighter, EMT, advanced EMT, or paramedic to fill out the last vacancy that we have from the initial 2022 hiring. We're into another round of applicants for this. We had a total of 6 applicants that applied for this position. It was reviewed through, they went through the process of physical agility, the application submission, and the interview. After the completion of that, our hiring committee, which was made up of myself, the township administrator, the assistant chief, and a representative from the full-time fire union, went through the process and reviewed, each independently reviewing the application qualifications, how they did with their interview, their work experience, their, the interview goes through things like the attitude, the career goals, the type of things to try to see who the best fit for the department was. Each member individually comes up with their decision. We met together and we had a unanimous recommendation to bring to the board to ask for the appointment of Kendall Leinenkugel. She is an EMT currently working full-time with Donald Martins and Son Ambulance. She is also a part-time firefighter EMT with Lake Township. And she has a little side job working for the Toledo Walleye Hockey as a color commentator for that. So I'm asking tonight from that for her appointment to the last full-time position. And she would have to still complete the pre-employment drug screening, the police and fire pension physical exam, and subject to a probationary period as a part of the contingent offer to her.
Okay, some questions?
Do you want to have a discussion now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not into agreement with this suggestion at this point. We acquired a SAFER grant that was a three-year commitment, allowed us to put on some paramedics. I know we had two paramedics on our SAFER grant, and we have one person who is being applying for paramedic school, which the township does a reimbursement program. This full-time position has been open since 2022-2023. We've asked about it numerous times. My personal opinion is that we need to make sure our paramedics are in place, a firefighter paramedic would be in place for this open position, since it's been open now for over 2.5 years. I think if we keep safe for grant personnel, we're going to lose paramedics. This is a full-time position that would be a firefighter paramedic. My personal opinion is we need to fill this with a seasoned personnel firefighter paramedic. Nothing against the young lady that you are suggesting, but I believe a lot of her qualifications have only been coming in the past year.
Well, we did look at all things, and again, like I said, it was an independent review of all our committee members. Coming up to that, we currently have with the SAFER grant position, two of the shifts have paramedics, one that already had the paramedic, one that just completed paramedic certification, that go along with the two existing paramedics that we have on shift. So two of our shifts have a total of three paramedics now. The one remaining shift has two paramedics with the one SAFER grant position to go. In addition to that, we have several part-time paramedics that fill in on the shifts. Two more of which just completed paramedic certification, one that is pending as well. And we have the goal to get to three paramedics, one for each ambulance shift. And, you know, with our time staff and our full-time staff, we will be able to meet that in the very near future. The committee independently reviewed everything, independently made recommendations. Collectively, when we got together, we had a unanimous presentation that this was not only the best fit based on the experience and the training that they have, the work experience, their overall interview, and personality-wise, the best fit for their department. I do understand what you're saying. The goal is to get what we have to have. There are some departments that operate exclusively at paramedics. I think when you have sometimes too many paramedics on a scene, it's not that it's a bad thing, but having a smaller group of paramedics lets those paramedics fine-tune their skills and maintain consistency with their skills. We don't have the call volume enough to really maintain, the skill level of 5 out of 5 paramedics on a shift. So we have a mix of things, and as the rule goes, you need good basic skills in order to have a patient that's going to be able to be related to all the advanced skills that we have. So the foundation of our care is on the basic side. So we've always employed a combination of the EMT, the advanced, and the paramedic in our delivery of things. And again, this was not a me decision. This was a unanimous decision from the committee members who each independently reviewed that and came up with the recommendation to you. So it has been something that we have been replaced. The position that was created by the baby was a DM position. It was not a paramedic. It was one person who was interested in paramedic training, just as this applicant has expressed interest in it. So we're moving in that direction. We're a young department. We're trying to gather a good combination of experienced personnel as well as personnel that are wanting to settle in as a career in the community and in the township. And, you know, the committee has brought forth her name as what we all feel was the best person for that.
So if the SAFER grant does not continue, you will lose two or three paramedics. If the SAFER grant does, because I think the SAFER grant people were on contract knowing that it was a three-year commitment. So I'm just saying, down the road, if the SAFER grant does not keep producing...
Correct. The SAFER grant is a three-year commitment for the funding from that. Part of that commitment in application for the SAFER grant was we needed to work on the ability to sustain those positions. The SAFER grant is a position to, one, either preserve from layoffs, or it's a stepping stone for your department to advance staffing from the part of the volunteer to the full. So they provide the thing for you for that three-year period. We, as a township, are charged with part of how we're going to develop the strategy to continue that funding. The timing for us on that comes around to the period where we'll be ready for another levy to be either renewed, replaced, and we continue to look for alternative sources for it. If we needed to, we could certainly apply at the end again to help preserve a layoff situation, but the with our funding that's coming from the county, our increase in our ALS transport with now the life system going away, and we're not passing off transports because of the paramedics that we have dedicated to each ALS unit, and moving forward with that, we're providing the best care that we have, and we're also maintaining a high skill level with, you know, having three and four paramedics on a crew instead of having all paramedics on a crew, and you know, seeing where some may not, you know, be as maintained in the proficiency that they need to on that. We do that through training. We do that experience. It comes down to the real world skills that you employ.
Chief, how many of our part-timers are paramedics?
That actually fill their positions.
The three shifts, we have a minimum of three, minimum of three, minimum of two, but I guess my question is on that minimum of two, is how often, on a percentage basis, roughly, there's one of the part-timers, so we do have three, two full, one part, on paramedics on that shift.
I don't have the exact number for you, but like I said, we did have to have...
That 50%, 70%.
I would say
70-30% of the time we have three paramedics even on that shift.
Okay.
But like it's, we did have just notified two other part-time employees that just completed paramedic training. We're hoping that paramedic training is a big commitment, a year long, plus working their regular full-time jobs and that. So we're hoping now that, you know, they're finished with classes, they'll be restoring some time for us too. But yes, time commitment was a consideration that we had. And looking at the ability of these individuals and who would fit best for the department.
Well, and just like we got a lot of great new paramedic / whatever, just getting out of classes, just getting into the clinicals, just getting into stuff. I'm just saying the township will be putting money out for this person also then to become a paramedic, correct?
This one is not a requirement. I'm not asking for a contingency on them to make them a paramedic. We currently have a paramedic reimbursement program that we've had for a number of years here, where the individuals pay for the schooling up front, and then in 2 years, they are reimbursed on a quarterly basis. And that's designed, when that program was designed, it was designed to promote the longevity of them staying here for the 2 years. If they leave after 6 months, they get just the 6 months worth of a repayment back. They're not automatically getting 2 years of repayment whether they're here or not here. So they have to stick out with us to promote the longevity for us and promote their interest. You know, in the years that we've started and developed this career pathway now,
where we can bring people to it at the young age when we're starting out, so that, you know, we're the board has done a lot for our department to help make us a competitive in the market. But we are a smaller department. We're not the big fire factories. We're not the big, you know, EMS factories that some departments have. And, you know, people are wanting to do it. So we're looking at, when we hire, we're looking at finding not only the people that have the qualifications minimum or qualifications above, but they have that desire for the career pathway and the commitment to make to the department. And, you know, we have a minimum of paramedics right now on the full-time side on each of the shifts. So it gives a good mentorship to a newer paramedic or a newer firefighter for us to bring in and attract someone and keep someone here for their career.
I'm going to vote no, and I guess, Chuck, it's up to you or whatever, and if not, then... Nothing against this individual, don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing against this individual. I'm just saying I think they're rather really, 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 really new on the EMT side and firefighter side. Very new.
And again, our committee members have each independently looked at that. We looked at the qualifications of the paramedics that we did have offer. We looked at their experience. Some of them were members for our department. Some of those were members that are not keeping up on their commitment that they made on the part-time side. And that affected that was part of the discussion. How an individual member who's working here and not meeting requirements, what are they going to be like when they maintain the full-time? The committee did its diligence. There was not just my idea or my ruling or anything that I wanted. You know, everybody reviewed that, made the commitment to it, and we're bringing you the best person that we feel for the job. I understand what your concerns are. We're working towards that. We're a good department to start with.
I agree 100%. Again, it just seems like we got not a whole lot of seasoned paramedic firefighters on the staff.
We do. We have, and we're sending them with our ability to call volume. We have our mentoring. We have our field training that goes on where they do some supervised time with existing paramedics and that, so that they can start to, you know, lose the stress of that. But we all started somewhere, and we all typically started with smaller departments. But the goal is to get the people here, and now that we have the career pathway, to retain them for those careers and to build from that and to build their training and experience. And that's what we have. And certainly the goal is to, hopefully with the board, with the public, and the community support, to pass our next levy so that we sustain those positions that were added under the SAFER grant.
Right. The taxes, people are not happy with the property taxes and everything going on, and our fire levy is not a guarantee.
And I understand that. So the best we can do is we do what we do. We manage our fiscal responsibility the best we can, and we look at building those customer service-oriented people, building those people that deliver the best service, give us the best response to our incidents and provide the best service to the community. And the committee thinks she would be an asset toward that.
Any other discussion?
I'm good.
All right, I'll make a motion to appoint Kendall Leinenkugel to the open full-time firefighter EMT or paramedic position contingent upon successful completion of the pre-employment screening, Ohio Police and Fire Pension Medical Exam, and subject to probation period equal to 60 tours for the fire department policies. All right.
I need a second.
Yeah.
Call it roll.
Second. I'm sorry, Gavin.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
No.
Okay, being in a tie vote, there will be no action on this at this time. And for our two students in the back, what Chief Holmick is maturing and the trustees up here is about a SAFER program. So we received a federal grant last year for $1 million So the idea was to hire three firefighters for 3 years. So that $1 million, basically, $333,000 to cover their salary and benefits for three people for 3 years. And then 3 years from now to look for a funding mechanism, hopefully for us, Monclova Township, to keep those folks on staff. So that's what we're referring to in the discussion as a SAFER program. It's a SAFER grant, and SAFER stands for Matter Time, Help Me Out Here.
Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response.
Staffing for Adequate Fire Emergency and Response. All right.
Would the board entertain a special meeting upon Trustee Lang's return that we could get in so that we're not doing this another 2 weeks?
I don't know when Trustee Lang is returning.
I'm not sure either, but I mean, to look at if she's returning.
We can talk after the meeting, Matt.
Again, I want to say nothing against the individual. I just would like to have somebody on a firefighter, paramedic position who's already trained to that level to be applying for this full-time position that's been open for 2 years.
And I understand what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying, but when you did approve the advertising for the position to be firefighter, EMT, advanced, or paramedic. It was not a requirement to be a paramedic. We went through, we accepted applications, reviewed the applications, found the best candidate for it, and they have interest pursuing their career. They're starting out early, as all of us started early, and then we proceeded through to that. So, we're working hard to fill these positions and bringing you the candidates. So,
okay. Tom, it sounds like Safety Township was a success, and Kathleen.
Absolutely.
25 kiddos and their certificates from Judge Hazard.
Yes, we had a very successful program. I mean, the staff played on this job in it, both administrative and the fire personnel who helped us with the planning, the organization. We did it kind of quickly, so we did a lot of the things internally. We had two of our teachers were fire department family members. As we would, as well as our staff helped teach some of the classes and some of the portions and participated with it. We had a great community support and partners with the Sheriff's Office, Save the Kids Coalition, the YMCA, and the community center for hosting us, and was a successful program, working hard already, coming up with some ideas to start working on next year's to make it bigger and better. And supported Judge Hazard there for the presentation of the certificates and part of the program. But yes, a big thank you to all of our staff, both here in the township administration and for the board for supporting the endeavor to continue that program. It's a very valuable program for us.
The Facebook pictures were really cute of all the kids driving the cars. I know you guys did a lot of work getting those cars going again, so.
All right. Anything else, Matt, Tom?
No, the rest of the my report is all informational. If you have questions, I would answer those for you and report statistic reports and that I've provided for you for your review.
All right. Doug, what's going into the roads and maintenance at some centers?
Well, are pretty basic and simple, so it's easy to follow. An update on the utility pole on Black Road. I finally got with someone today after Chief and I worked on it for I don't know how many days, weeks, hours, whatever. I finally got someone on the phone, and they're reporting it, and it's supposed to get either replaced or removed. I found this out about 4:45 or something. I can't remember. And then there's one on Monclova in front of the
local livestock plant.
Yes. Yeah, so that's just like black.
Right.
So Nick called work out. And it's the same deal. Nope, it's Buckeye Cable, nope, to lease them to Edison, and nobody wants to touch it because it's not mine. Well, the guys come in now, we're putting a screwdriver in a rug pole, and we're like, it's lean. We don't need to. So I'll, the same process I just followed, I'm going to do with that one when I get back on tomorrow. So we should be able to get those taken care of. I'm hopeful that that happens. Street sweeping, I got it nailed down. It's the second week of September. So we'll do the same process that we did the last. So dumpster at our place. First week will come through, dump it up at our place. We'll give them water. It gets them in and out. And it's them from being so full that they're throwing dust everywhere. So I got less complaints this last go-around than I had the previous couple. So, truck 16 sold. I think our portion is 25.2. So that, we did good on truck 16 selling that. And then our new truck 22, the one that's at Claudia getting outfitted, they got probably a week and a half, 2 weeks left on that. So that will make its appearance at our open house, which I think will be nice for the public. See the truck chassis last, and you can see it completed, what their money's going on being spent on. The digital timer was installed. It's not real happy. It takes a rocket science to plug the program this thing. It's been Kevin and I have worked on it, and EJ and I have worked on it.
You're talking about the pickleball court?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're probably going to get phone calls until we get this thing figured out. It's not as quick. It's worse than setting the VCR back in the day when it's flashing 12 o'clock. This thing's a pain in the tail. So as soon as we get it right, it'll get right. But it's in. And pickleball stuff, you see the material for the screens are on back order. As they're done, we're first in line, we'll get them delivered and get them put up. We do not think of them, they can stay up all year round.
You need the sound barriers first?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So once those go up, the sound barriers will go down, and we can put them on gut fields or whatever we decide to do with them. But other than that, I don't have much of anything. We had a big wreck the other night, the fire department did, on Coder. We got called out roughly 2 a.m. And the way the fire guys work with the maintenance guys and girls, everybody knew everybody's name, which was really nice to see. That when somebody needed something, one of my guys needed a flashlight, so they looked at Doug, you got a flashlight. They know each other by name. So it's, you know, there's some kind of like weirdness there, right? That we're working together as a big giant. But really nice, it seemed like that everybody knew everybody to a certain extent. It wasn't working, I work in big cities where you don't know each other. And it was nice to see that. Those guys did a good, fire department did a good job. My guys, I can't say enough about them, so. And fall footers report. So we're done over there.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, Harold, we took care of the stone lighting, or street lighting district. We got a couple other action items.
Just
help department.
Just whether yes, the amendment to the regional health district merger agreement. The health department, the building on Erie Street is 73 years old, and there are a lot of infrastructure issues. So they would like to move to Spielbush Avenue to the Toledo Catholic Diocese building. But in order to do that, the health district merger agreement needs to be amended. And so they've sent what the merger agreement would look like, and we just need to pass a resolution approving the amendments.
Yeah, with the last health department meeting, I had an opportunity, they had a number of slides. The building on Erie Street is in pretty bad shape, with tarps and buckets in the hallway and asbestos issues and some other thing. And the cop downstairs, the Catholic office building, is virtually moving condition. And I believe that the 1,000 is just stationary increases in our health department contribution.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little. But then,
yeah.
I move to approve resolution 0818-2025-02, approving amendments to the regional combined health district merger agreement.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
The rest of my memo is information. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our crack program is complete for the year. Contract amount was $96,170, and the actual final bill was $52,160. So they didn't use nearly the amount of material that was anticipated. So that worked out very well for us.
All right. That includes our agenda tonight. Are there any questions or comments or public regarding the agenda? Two young ladies are well versed in the township government. Any questions?
No.
First day of school today? Yeah. And we got an extra after hours assignment. All right, with that, then I will make a motion.